Welcome to East Lake Church. I'm the lead pastor. We call this a church for everyone. And relationships are such a big part of life. Today we're going to talk about specifically our relationship with God, what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, what that means. And it's like every other relationship. When you have a relationship with God, relationships are very personal. I bring something to the table, the other person brings something to the table. My wife, my children, my home, my rent, my bills, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your health. We bring ourselves to the relationship, and they're very personal. There's two people in the relationship, and it's the same with God. And the people can be very, very different. So my wife and I were in a relationship, and one of Clarice's favorite things to do is she likes to go to Park City. Which I like Park City too, but here's what she likes about Park City. She likes to go to all the little different shops in Park City. Now, when you go up to Park City, she likes to go into the different shops there, and I like to go in stores that have a consistent theme. So you go into a bookstore, and there's all books in there. And you go into a shoe store, and there's all shoes in there. My favorite is a sporting goods store. You go into the sporting goods store, and there's all there's a sporting goods in. Now, when you go into one of the shops in Park City that Clarice likes to go to, there's no theme at all in those shops. There's like a horse's saddle, and there's like a hairbrush, and 10,000 candles to look at, and frames. One of my wife's favorite things to do is to just look at different picture frames that don't have anything in them. And all the shops in Park City, there's no theme whatsoever. I don't even know how everything sort of fits together. But Clarice likes to go in those type of shops. And I don't. But she does. And what if your relationship with God is like that? What if there are different things that you like a lot and maybe God doesn't like them so much? And what if there's some things that God likes and you don't like them so much? It's the big idea this weekend. Write in your notes, relationships are a two-way street. They're very personal. Now, you might hear a little speaker go off today, and it's not aliens in the room or anything. We're still working on things. This is the daycare during the week. They have a security speaker, so if you hear like a little thing in the back, like a little microphone going off, don't worry about it. Somehow it got connected today. Hopefully we got it off by now, but don't worry. So let's read this. We're going to read out of the book of Mark, and Mark is a person that grew up in the church. He tried to keep all the religious rules, and it didn't work, so he fades away from his childhood religion. This is Mark now. There's four books in the Bible that are biographies about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Mark writes this one, and primarily to show us how to have a relationship with Jesus. As a young adult, he meets Jesus and starts to have a relationship, and he pieces together all these different events to try to show the difference between having a religion about God to having a relationship with Jesus. So if you're wondering, what is it like to have a relationship with Jesus? Because remember, we believe he's not some dead guy that lived a long time ago. Not Martin Luther King or Julius Caesar or Abraham Lincoln, he's alive. And he brings something to the relationship, and so do you. Because relationships are a two-way street. And so Mark meets Jesus and says, man, to have a relationship with Jesus, it's a two-way street. So let's read a little story about it here today. This is in the book of Mark. Now, John's disciples, in your notes, and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. Then he says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst in the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. So John's disciples are talking about John the Baptist and the Pharisees. They come and they ask Jesus this question. How come it seems like you're fun to be around, and it's great to have a relationship with you, but our religious leaders and our church leaders aren't like that? And Mark is saying, I grew up in the church. I know what it is to be bored. I know what it is to have it seem like it's so difficult to have a relationship with God. And here's the big question. Jesus, how come it seems like It's not that hard to have a relationship with you. It's not that difficult. Why do you make it look easy? And how many people do you know that maybe back off from a relationship with God, and especially church, because they just feel like it's way too difficult, too confusing, it's going to be too demanding, and they watch Jesus with the people around him, and they come to him and they ask him the question, why does it seem like it's just a lot easier to be with you than I remember it being? And maybe you've tried to convince somebody, church doesn't have to be that hard, and it doesn't have to be boring. In Mark's day, he lived at the same time as Jesus. They had this idea that if you were going to respect God, you had to be really, really super serious. So church was a place where nobody really laughed, and you certainly wouldn't show a video like we did today. And it was a place that you came, and it was very solemn. Even the Pharisees, these people that were church leaders, they used to take ash off of, they would keep ash from fireplaces, and they would put it all over their face to make their face look white, and they would wear special church clothes, and they always looked really, really super serious. So if you ever went to church and it seemed like all the older people at church were really, really super serious, well, that's what Mark was used to. And so what happened was all the people, they didn't want to go to church anymore because they thought God was like that too. Very, very serious. Serious, serious, serious. If you're going to respect God, you have to be super, super serious. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he goes to parties. I promise you, you never saw a Pharisee, a church leader, in Jesus' day at a kegger party. They didn't go there. And church certainly never felt like a party. After church today, we're having hot dogs. We're having a barbecue. We're going to have hot dogs and try to have some fun because we believe church should be fun. It should be fun for kids. Do you know when you're little and you go to church? My grandmother took me to a church when I was little, and I went to the church, and it lasted a super, super long time, and they didn't have really any place for children, and so I had to sit in a pew with her, and of course I got squiggly, and she was pinching me and telling me to be quiet. I didn't like going, and guess what? I thought God was the same way. So as I got older and someone said, "Do you want to go to church?" I was like, I'd rather like go to the dentist because it's boring and hard. And they see Jesus and they go, "You go to parties?" Can you imagine God as a person? You know what it says in heaven someday, that there's going to be parties and banquets. So it might be a good place. And Jesus, why does it seem like you even bend the religious rules to include people? Our church leaders are very strict about the rules, but you seem like you're bending the rules all the time. And it's really difficult for them to figure out. They want to trust Jesus. They want to have a relationship with him, but they think, you don't look anything like the religious church leaders that we grew up with. So if you have friends and family out there, maybe that's one of the things that stops them. They think about what they grew up in. And here was the thing with Mark, too. You may know someone like this. Mark, who wrote this, the biography about Jesus, he was the type of person who was thinking, someday I'm going to get back to it. Someday I'm going to go back to church. Someday I'm going to get back and connect with God. It's going to happen someday. And all of a sudden, they see Jesus, and someday has arrived. So they come and ask him the question. They use fasting as an example. Why? How come your people don't fast, and everybody else has to fast? And the Pharisees, they had nearly ruined fasting because they made it a very religious thing. I don't know if you ever tried to fast before where you don't eat food, but it's like the slowest thing ever. I don't know why they call it fasting, because when you don't eat food for a couple days, it's very, very difficult. And if the only thing you get out of it is to seem very religious, it's not worth it to skip food. You can turn to the person next to you and say, "Are you a foodie?" Just ask them, say, "Are you the kind of person that likes food and stuff? Would you be willing to fast?" And then they come to Jesus and say, "You don't make anybody fast at all. How come?" And Jesus has the greatest way of saying it. He answers them, and I'll read you just a little bit of it. So Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot as long as he's with them." And he uses this idea of a wedding. And at this wedding, in the Jewish wedding, it was the best time of a person's life. A wedding lasted an entire week. It was a week-long party where they had plenty of food and nobody had to work and they had lots of wine. And what Jesus is saying to him is that, fasting is a relational thing, and right now the relationship between me and everybody with me is doing really, really good. It's like a wedding. And sometimes your relationship with God feels like a wedding. It's just going great, and there's enough of everything, and it's fun, and everything's going really super well. And then Jesus says, but the day will come. And sometimes in your relationship with God, the day will come where it won't seem like it's going so well. And it'll be confusing. Sometimes walking with God and other people just seems like a wedding. It's a lot of fun and couldn't be better. And everything's going great. And maybe your marriage or your boyfriend or your parents or your friends is like that right now. It's like, God, it's going so great. It's just like, this is awesome. But everybody knows that every single type of relation at some point does not go well. And Jesus says that. Sometimes it's like a wedding, but someday. Because you don't think about that when you're going to marry somebody. You don't think about someday. You don't think about that when you start to, you know, move out of your house and your parents start to boss you around a little bit. You don't think about someday. But someday, even your relationship with God will come. And Jesus references this time. He says, in the future, there's a day going to come. And here's what he's talking about. Someday, he says, someday, Jesus knows he's going to get arrested. And the church leaders and the politicians are all going to be against him. They're going to think he's a big troublemaker, and they're going to put him into jail, and everybody's going to scatter, and nobody's going to want to follow him. And he said, someday it'll be difficult to follow me. And in your relationship with God, your someday will come. It'll be very difficult to follow him. It was like it was for them. Sometimes it'll be like a wedding, but sometimes it'll be like fasting. And if fasting is a relational thing, really what all fasting is the times in my life that I want to connect with God and focus. Fasting helps me to focus spiritually. God is spiritual, so it helps me focus on him and have a stronger connection. That's all fasting is. At night, when Clarice and I sit and we talk and we turn the TV off and there's no interruptions, we're focused on each other and it strengthens our relationship. And that's all fasting is. And fasting is a great thing on occasion to do for your relationship with God. But it's not easy. It's hard to skip food. And what Jesus is saying is sometimes you'll have to focus in on God. It won't be like a wedding. It will not be easy. It will be confusing. You won't understand what he's doing. He's referencing a point. He said, nobody understood. How would I be arrested? Why would I let them do this to me? Everybody's scattered. Nobody's sure what to believe anymore. And that will happen sometimes in your walk with God. You'll wonder, God, I don't understand. None of this makes sense. You know, how come you're letting this happen? And that's a real part of every relationship, and it's also a part of your relationship with God. I think sometimes we feel that way because we feel like, Jesus, you could do anything. You could make any stop. You're like a genie. You can make wishes come true. You don't have to let this happen, God. Why are you letting this happen? Can you imagine what it must have been like for all of his friends and family when they watched him with the soldiers drag him up the hill as he carried his own cross? I mean, what would it be like to have seen someone walk on the water and make someone blind see and give somebody their hearing that never had it? What would it be like to be at a funeral and there's a mom and her child and they're carrying out the boy and he's dead and Jesus walks up to the coffin and just touches it and the boy comes out of the coffin, he's not dead anymore? If you saw all that stuff and then all of a sudden you saw the same guy with a cross on his back, beat to heck, being drug up a hill, and you're thinking, any time now, just watch him. Wait till he starts to kick butt. This is going to be awesome. Anytime, Jesus, just, no, don't go anywhere. And then it just doesn't happen. And they put him on the cross, and they nail him to the cross, and the whole time, if you're there, you're thinking, any minute he's going to stop it. He's going to clap his hands. He's going to make him stop. This time he's really going to do something. And he didn't. And life feels like that sometimes with Jesus. It's like any minute he's going to do it. Any minute they're going to be healed. And they don't get healed. Any minute I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a job and it's going to go great. And you don't get a job. Any minute my kids are going to call me. They're going to say they're sorry. And they don't. Any minute. And it just doesn't happen. Sometimes God brings that to the relationship. And Jesus is referencing. He's saying, you know, it's going to be like a wedding. And a lot of times it'll be like, but other times, it won't be. And during those times, that's when you'll need to connect with God. And here's the principle in relationships. When the times are really, really super, super confusing, that's when you have to focus in relationships. However, It's often the times that we want to pull away. I want to pull away from God because God, you know, now I doubt everything because this happened. And Jesus gives an analogy about it. We're going to read it. Look in your notes there. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away, circle that, from the old. I had to put a little button on my shirt, and so I had it in my lap, and I was sewing. I'm not a very good sewer, but I had to sew up by myself. And so I was sewing, and I had it on my shirt, and I was sewing, and it got the button on finally. And when I went to pull this shirt up, I'd sewn it right into my pants. The shirt was right into my pants. I'd sewed the whole thing in there, you know. And I thought, and Jesus, you think, why is Jesus talking about sewing? Because when you're sewing and you're doing the work, it might be okay, but you may not sew it correctly. And when you do that, what ends up happening is it feels like you want to pull away. I don't want to do this anymore. I remember I just took the whole thing, just ripped it like this and said, I just wear a t-shirt today because I don't care anymore. And when he's using an analogy, he's saying that it's very easy to get impatient in our relationships and just want to stop. Doesn't mean you're sewing the wrong material in. It doesn't mean that the work that you're doing is wrong. It's just difficult, and you maybe do it wrong. And then he has this other analogy about wine. And that's a real thing that happened in Jesus' day. They would store wine in these skins, and they were sort of like you've seen them before. And, you know, the ones that they drink like this. And they'd put the new wine in there, and the wine would ferment, and the gases would come, and it would snap these little leather bottles, and it would spill everything, and it would ruin everything. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, what used to work in your relationship and doesn't work anymore? Used to work just fine. You find out when you have children, the way we used to work was just great now. But now it doesn't work anymore to let you sleep in on Saturdays and I have to get up with the kids isn't working for me. And that's what relationships go through. And here's the shocking thing. Shocking. Relationship with Jesus. You start to walk with him and you're with him for about a year or two. And all of a sudden something that you've been doing for a long time, it's not working for Jesus anymore. And he starts to talk to you about it, and you're like, Lord, I've been living like this for quite a while now. You've never said anything, but all of a sudden, it's not working for him anymore. And it can be a little startling, because you almost kind of picture Jesus like he's just like the picture on the wall. You know, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus that comes from, like, Alabama instead of the Middle East, that Jesus, you know? He just stays like that. He just has that look on his face. I love you all the time. And it's shocking that Jesus would change, and all of a sudden, because every relationship does, because it's a two-way street. And so it used to be just fine. Lord, I didn't get baptized all these days. I don't want to get baptized now. It's not working anymore. Lord, I never used to give to you. I didn't give my... It's not working anymore. All of a sudden, there's something in your relationship with Jesus, because he's alive, that doesn't work for him anymore. It'd be a little startling. How about the other way around? When all of a sudden you tell God something, say, God, this isn't working for me anymore. I know it used to work for me, Jesus, but it's not working for me anymore. Now let's look at a point of application. Turn your program over. Let's look at a couple things. Write in the word patience. So they come to Jesus and they say, you don't look anything like the religious leaders that we know. You actually look like you like to go to parties and you include people. Can we really trust this? And one of the things to write down here, patience, is because in every relationship, it's a two-way street. And I want God to be patient with me, but it's difficult for me to be patient with God. It's very difficult in my relationship to be patient with him because I feel like, God, I know you could do it right now. Why aren't you? I know you could give me a house now. I know you could give me a job now. I know you could give me a baby now. Some friends of ours have been trying to have a baby for 10 years, and they just had their baby just like this last week. 10 years they tried to have a baby. Up and down, up and down, up and down. You think, gosh, that's a long time to be patient with God, to wait for something that you really, really, really want. And so I just wanted to ask you a question today. Is there anything that's going on in your relationship with God and you're starting to lose patience with him? Because what he says in the story to him is he says, sometimes it'll seem like a wedding and sometimes like a fast. And you'll want it to go a lot, lot, lot faster, and it's not. And then write in the next word, flexibility. Flexibility, that's the idea of these wineskins, being flexible. There's some things you can't be flexible in. I don't know why it is. Every time I go to a shoe store, the guy comes out, he measures my foot. I'm a size 9. I've been a size 9 for a long time. I pick out some shoes. He goes back into the back, and he's supposed to bring out size 9. I don't know if this happens to you, but normally if you let them, they go back there. They come out with all these boxes of shoes. They've got shoes you didn't even ask them to get. I think they go back there, and they're supposed to bring out some special shoes to try to get you to buy those. So they come out, they got all these shoes, and they put them down, and there's not one size 9. He says, well, I didn't have a size 9, but I brought an 11 and a 6. You're like, what the heck? It's like, you know, because my feet are not flexible. They stay the same size. And lots of things in life need to be like that. There was a basketball player. His name was David Robinson. And there was lots of girls that would hang out at the end of the games, and they would, I guess, you know, sort of want to be with the guys and stuff. And so this David Robinson, he got married and everything changed. And when he'd be at his home games, his wife would be right with him at the end of the game. And apparently these girls had gotten into a routine of not even noticing this stuff. And they would come around and do the same things they'd always done. It was very embarrassing to his wife. And at first he didn't know what to do. He didn't want to embarrass the girls or his wife. And then he realized, he made the greatest statement. He said, if somebody has to be embarrassed tonight, it's not going to be my wife. And he became very inflexible on something. And so in relationships, some things are very inflexible. But some things have to be flexible. I had there's a thing you can do. It's called P90X. It's a get-in-shape program. And you put the videos on. And one of the videos that you're supposed to do is yoga. And so we put the video on. I'm with this other guy. And he wanted to do the yoga. I thought it was kind of girly, but he just talked me into it. So we're going to do the yoga. And I thought yoga was mostly just sitting and humming or something, or incense were going, or I had no idea actually what yoga was. Yoga is a lot of stretching, is what yoga is. And it's a lot of seeing parts of your body that you should only see in a mirror. You shouldn't see them because you're doing all kinds of different stretches with this yoga. And we were doing these stretching exercises, and I realized I'm not really physically flexible like I thought it was when it comes to yoga. But I did see this, is that if I'm willing to stretch, I become more flexible. And I wanted to say something to you. Here's what stretching is. Stretching is negotiating in your relationships, and you can negotiate with God. I want to make certain you understand who God is. God's a person. You can have a relationship with Him, and you can negotiate with God. Abraham negotiated with God. He's the great person way back in the Bible, and he negotiated with God. He had a conversation with God. He tried to change God's mind. I don't know if you've ever attempted that. Instead of pulling away and saying, oh, I'm not going to do anything with God, you can talk to God, negotiate with God, try to change God's mind. Even Jesus tried to change God's mind, and you can negotiate. My wife is a great negotiator. My wife is super at negotiating. She can figure out, okay, we're not going to probably be able to do it like I want it to be done. And because here's the thing in relationships I've noticed is that I'm most comfortable if I don't have to stretch. I am most comfortable in my relationship with God or you or my wife if I don't have to stretch at all. And so usually I try to keep things pretty much the same. And my wife, she's learned to be a negotiator in our relationship. She'll say, can we spend some time on Monday night? No, babe, I have to study. Well, what about Tuesday afternoon? Well, Tuesday afternoon would work. Then we'll spend the whole day Tuesday afternoon together. Well, I can't do the whole day Tuesday. Well, what if we go to lunch on Tuesday afternoon and you pay? And it's like, you know, and she just keeps negotiating down until all of a sudden we've come to an agreement on something. And usually I have to stretch. My wife likes massages and back rubs. And so a lot of times what she wants me to do is to give her a back rub or a massage. That's her idea of it, which I hate to do. I don't like doing that because I'm not a masseuse. I haven't been trained. I'm not good at it. And it's not a back rub, by the way. A back rub is when you just rub something. A massage is like you have to knead cement or something. It's like you're really pressing on it to try to get a knot out. And this is the thing I hate about the massages. This is the thing that really stretches me, is all the commentary that goes on. If it could just be, which is actually a lot of hard work, as all relationships are, because remember, everybody brings their stuff to the relationship. If all it was is I just had to go in and just do the massaging, which, by the way, I don't even like people touching me like that. And so I don't appreciate massages. I mean, people that like massages, if you're here and you like massages and you let strangers touch your feet, you're weird, because that's a weird thing to let people do. But some people like this. They pay money to have this done to them. And I just don't do that. But anyways, my wife, now I'm in trouble because I said weird and she likes massages. My wife likes it. Anyways, but she wants me to do the massaging. But it's the commentary that I don't like because it's, oh, a little lower. Oh, a little to the right. Oh, right there. Oh, not so hard. A little bit harder. Oh, up just a little bit. Oh, down. Your hands are cold. Put some cream on. And, you know, and I've actually had to say, I'm not a trained masseuse. I'm not good at this. However, she likes it. I don't. And relationships are like that. The thing is, here's what we tend to do with God. We tend to make him impersonal. We there's nothing I do that God doesn't like, and we would never have the guts to say, you know, God, there's a lot of things you do that I don't like. And we can never hear God saying to us, I love you and accept you, but I don't like that about you. But the truth is that all relationships are personal. And the reason that Mark, when he wrote this, had such a difficult time in the church is all they had was religious rules. And so he remembers fasting. He says, I remember fasting. I didn't get anything out of it except that I looked religious, and that was not a big enough payoff for not eating. And Jesus says, I know. Fasting was never supposed to be religious, it's relational. When you fast, you become more spiritual, it's easier to connect with me. And sometimes you'll need that, and it'll be worth it, even though it'll be painful to fast. And I don't like to give massages. I don't like anything about them. I don't want a massage. I don't want to give a massage. I don't like the commentary. The best part about a massage is when the massage is over, and I'm done. But Clarice likes them, and it stretches me. And the question is, can I be flexible? But none of this happens unless you can see God as personal. And they come to these people and they say, Jesus, you seem so personal, like somebody could have a relationship with you. And now you have to decide. Now here's the last thing right in your notes, the bottom line. God's not difficult to please. I don't know if you've ever been with someone that it just seems like it's very, 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 very difficult to please them. No matter what you do, you can't please them. And that's how Mark had felt, the person that wrote this about religion. He's like, man, no matter how hard I try, I'm never able to measure up. Jesus, why do the people with you look like you're pleased with them? And everybody had to choose. And that's our choice today. Can God be personal in your life? Can it be relational and not religious?